Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. In our last broadcast, we investigated Quran chapter 7, verses 65 to 72, where we learn about a prophet who was invented by Muhammad by the name Prophet Hud, whom Muhammad created his own people by the name of Ad. Today, we're going to look at another story in the Quran, which is similar to that which we have read in these verses concerning another prophet. And that prophet, his name is Prophet Saleh. And the people of Saleh are the people of Samud. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 7, beginning from verse 73 to 78. For there we read the following. And to Samud, their brother Saleh said, O my people, serve Allah. You have no God other than Him. Indeed, a proof came to you from your Lord. This is a camel of Allah, a sign to you. So let her go at large to eat on Allah's earth, and do not touch her with evil, so a painful torment will overtake you. And remember, when He made you viceroys after Ad, and gave you dwellings on the earth, on its plains, you take Qusur, non-Arabic word, which means castles, and hew out of the mountains houses. So remember the favors of Allah, and do not act wickedly in the land, vandalizing. The leaders of his people who were proud said to those who were weakened, to those of them who believed, do you know that Saleh was sent from his Lord? They said, surely we believe by which he has been sent. Those who were proud said, surely we are infidels by that in which you believe. So they hamstrung the camel and rebelled against their Lord's command, and said, O Saleh, bring on us that which you promised us, if you were of the messengers. So the quake seized them, and they became motionless in their homes. So he turned away from them and said, O my people, indeed, I delivered to you the message of my Lord, and I gave you advice, but you did not love the advisors. Like the story of Prophet Hud and the people of Ad, similarly here we read about the story of Prophet Saleh and the people of Samud, which is repeated throughout the Quran. Amazingly, when you read this story throughout the Quran, you come up with a complete understanding that Muhammad did not know what he's talking about. He was just simply making up another story in the Quran. What I'm trying to say is this. The story is repeated in many different words, with many contradictions, and without any details. It's a made-up story. And the proof is very simple. We do not have a true understanding to who is this Prophet Saleh. There is not an actual message to Prophet Saleh. Nobody understands what Prophet Saleh is trying to teach, and no one to receive the message of Prophet Saleh, for the people of Samud do not exist anywhere. There is no archaeological evidence. There is no historical evidence. There is no contextual evidence. There is no biblical evidence to support such made-up story. And what is greater than that, when you read the story of Prophet Saleh and the people of Samud all over the pages of the Quran, which is Quran chapter 7, verses 73 to 79, we just read it in the beginning of this broadcast. Quran chapter 11, verses 61 to 68. Quran chapter 15, verses 80 to 84. Quran chapter 17, verses and verse 59. Quran chapter 26, verses 141 to 159. Quran chapter 27, verses 45 to 53. Quran chapter 41, verses 17 and 18. Quran chapter 54, verses 23 to 32. And finally, Quran chapter 91, verses 11 to 15. When you read all these passages in the Quran, you will know for sure that it is 100% a made-up story. Now, I want to share with you the interpretation of Muslim scholars, and then I will be sharing with you some of my own thought to explain that this is truly a made-up story. Muslim scholars said that Samud was the son of Aber, the son of Aram, the son of Shem, the son of Noah. Now, when you read this word, you come to the conclusion that Samud is just a man. Who is Samud? He's the son of Aber, son of Aram, son of Shem, son of Noah. Four generations from Noah. But how in the world, when you read the passage of the Quran, you think that Prophet Saleh was sent to the people of Samud? Because Allah did not say, and Saleh was sent to another gentleman by the name Samud, but to Samud, their Prophet Saleh said. That means Samud is more than just one person. Samud is a bunch of people. And as you read carefully to the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir, you know for sure that all these people were Arab. I mean, you talk about from Noah down, they were all Arabs. When in reality, we know that Arabs were the descendant of Abraham and his wife Keturah, whom he married after the death of Sarah, as we read that in Genesis chapter 25, verses 1 through 6, which is a great evidence that those who are so-called Muslim scholars do not know the timeline of the existence of the Arab people. They were not from the days of Noah, but after the days of Abraham. But let's continue to read another opinion about who is Samud. As we read from Muslim scholars that he is the brother of Jadis, son of Aber, which obviously son of Aram, son of Shem, son of Noah. So once again, he's one person. He is Jadis, son of Aber. So he's not son of Aber, but he is Jadis, son of Aber. Wow, that is extra information. We really needed it so badly to know who is the people of Samud, because now we know for sure he's just one guy. Now let's learn about where Samud used to live. Then we read the following statement. The dwelling of Samud was between Al-Hijaz and the Levant in the valley of the village. Wait a minute. Now Samud is not just one person. Samud became a bunch of people because their dwellings in plural, unless he was really super rich man, we have lots of homes and he just lived in all these homes. By the way, when you look at the map to find out where he lived, you see that that man or these people, depending how you want to look at it, actually live in a huge property of land that is between the east side of Mecca all the way until you go up to Lebanon. I mean, he lived in a piece of land which is good for the whole entire nations, not just a small city or a small village. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. Huge piece of property. Wow. I wonder when Muslims read the interpretation of Muslim scholars, do they really believe everything they say without looking at a map, without investigating what they're saying? But listen to what else we have there. Samud lived long years, that there was not enough buildings to satisfy the living of Samud. Now I know for sure, yes indeed, that Samud is not just one person, but that is a bunch of people. And then he speak in the plural language. These are Muslim scholars speaking in the plural language. And they say they hewed houses in the mountains. They. That's more than one guy. Because if it's Samud is a one man, why he need houses? One house, two houses would be plenty. No, there are plenty of them. And they used to live in this beautiful land. And they vandalized on the earth. And they worship idols. So Allah sent to them, wait a minute, now I know for sure Samud is not one guy, actually they are a bunch of people. Whom Allah sent to them? Prophet Saleh. And he is the most noble among them. So he warns them. So they ask him for a sign. So he said to them, what sign do you want? They said, come out with us in our vestibules. So you call your God and we will call our gods. So whoever God answers their calling, that is the one we will follow. So he went out with them. So they called on their idols. But their gods or their idols did not answer their calling. So the prince of them by the name Jandah, son of Amr, pointed to a rock by itself. The name of that rock was Al-Ka'iba. Now you have to realize here that that character we're talking about and that rock which they give it a name is not anywhere in the pages of the Quran. That's why I always say Muslim scholars do not interpret, they fabricate stories and they fabricate interpretation to verses which do not exist anywhere in the Quran. And he said to him, obviously here he's talking to Prophet Saleh, bring to us out of this rock a camel. If you did that, for sure we will believe you. So Saleh took a covenant with them. If I do that, so for sure you will be of the believers. They said, yes, we will.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
So Prophet Saleh prayed to his Lord. So the rock began to groan like any female about to have a baby. And suddenly came out of the rock a camel, exactly as they described it to Prophet Saleh. And they were watching. Then she actually gave birth to another male camel who was as great as she was. That's why it was named the Camel of Allah, because she did not come out of male nor a female. She simply came out of the rock, this one huge rock. So some of his people believed in him, but plenty of others did not believe. And Muslim scholars name for us those who did not believe in Prophet Saleh. And they are Ibn Zawab, Ibn Amr, and Al-Habbab, the owner of their idols, and Rabab Ibn Saghr, who was their priest. And once again, I wonder, where in the world these so-called Muslim scholars come up with this information? How did they know the names of such people? Once again, because this information does not exist anywhere in the pages of the Quran. And none of those so-called Muslim scholars were prophets, that they may also receive these very vital revelations from some other source except their imagination. So that camel, the camel of Allah, and her son were eating from the trees and drinking from the water. And when she used to put her head in the well, she would not leave the well until all the water of the well was gone. Boy, oh boy, she was huge camel and drank lots of water. Then when she finished drinking, they used to milk that camel, and they got huge amount of milk, which filled all their vessels, and they would actually save more milk from her. And when she used to walk in the valley, all the animals would run away from her. because they were afraid of her. And that was very hard for the people. But when they hamstrung her, they share its meat. That's when her son, the camel's son, ran to a mountain which has the name Qara. So Prophet Saleh told them, hurry, catch him. Perhaps he will remove the torment of you. But they were not able to do, for the rock exploded and the baby camel went inside it.
In another interpretation, the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir said that when her son went to the mountain, it was a hard mountain, it's a big mountain. He went all the way to the top of the mountain where the rock was on it. And Abdul Razak stated that Muammar said that he heard Al-Hasan al-Basri said that son of the camel actually prayed to Allah and he said, my mama, oh Lord, where is my mama? And he said that 3 times. And then he went inside the rock. And that's where he disappeared from all the people and they could not catch him. But it was also said they actually were able to catch him and they also hamstrung him with his mother. And Muslim scholars ended by the statement, and Allah knows best.
What a great fairy tale. That's when Prophet Saleh told the people of Samud that tomorrow your faces will be yellow. After that, your faces will be red. And on the third day, your faces will be black. Then you will have the torment. So when they saw the signs, they were asking to kill Prophet Saleh. But Allah delivered him to the land of Philistine. So when the fourth day came, the shout came to them from heaven, and their hearts were broken, and they perished. And this was the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Razi to Quran chapter 7 and verse 73. Quickly, I would like to share with you the different opinions given by Allah in the Quran of how the people of Samud died. In Quran chapter 7 and verse 78, we read, so the quake seized them, so they became motionless in their homes. So the question I must ask here is that, were they dead or they were frozen? Now, in Quran chapter 11 and verse 67, we read, and the shout seized those who did injustice, so they became motionless in their homes. In Quran chapter 15 and verse 83, we read, so a shout seized them in the morning. In Quran chapter 26 and verse 158, we read, so the torment seized them. Surely in this is a sign, and most of them were not believers. In Quran chapter 27 and verse 51, we read, we destroyed them and all their people. Well, how can you destroy them and destroy all their people when them are the people? Hello? In Quran chapter 41, we read many different opinions of how Allah punished Samud. For example, in verse 13, we read, so if they turn away, so say, I warned you of a thunderbolt like the thunderbolt of Ad and Samud. So the question we must ask here, was the punishment a shout or a thunderbolt? What do we learn from that verse? We learn that Samud were punished with a thunderbolt. But you go down a little bit in verse 17, as for Samud, so we guided them, so they loved the blindness over the guidance. So the shameful thunderbolt seized them because of what they were earning. I do not know how can you have a shameful thunderbolt, because is there any other kind of thunderbolt? Now let's look at the punishment in Quran chapter 54 for the people of Samud. For in verse 31 we read, surely we sent a single shout against them, so they were like the gathered dry straw. Finally, we read in chapter 91 and verse 14, so they denied him, so they hamstrung her, meaning the camel, so their Lord got angry and destroyed them because of their sin, so he leveled them. How he leveled them, I have no idea. So, what we have here, my dear friends, is very simple. A made-up story
about an Arab prophet by the name Saleh. Similar to that in the previous prophet, which is a made-up story by Muhammad by the name Prophet Hud. He is also an Arab prophet. But wait a minute. I thought Muslims believe that Muhammad is the only Arab prophet because no prophet came to the Arab people before Muhammad. But now we see Prophet Hud is an Arab and Prophet Saleh is an Arab. What is so amazing is that when you read these stories about these prophets, there is no information from which you can tell that it is a true story. Once again, as I said earlier, because there's no biblical evidence of it. More than that, it is fairy tale. A camel came out of the rock and a baby camel came out of it and they killed that camel and the baby camel escaped to the rock and they could not stop him from going back to the rock. Or maybe actually they killed the baby too after he prayed this wonderful prayer to Allah, "Where is my mama?" I mean, what is that? It is nothing but fairy tale. You can see that in cartoons, but that does not happen in real life. But what do you say? The story of the Quran is a made-up story. The contradiction is all over the Quran when we read about the same story. At least with Prophet Saleh, he performed the miracle, the camel coming out of the rock. But so-called Prophet Muhammad, the self-proclaimed Prophet of Islam, did not perform any miracle. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.